I hope you have a great and happy new year coming up this next weekend. And what we're going to be talking about is a happier new year. And in spite of circumstances that might come against us, and how do we do that? Well, our reading this morning from Matthew chapter 22 gives us the heart of it. That to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And the second being like it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, is the secret to life. The secret to being obedient to God. The secret to being what God would have us to be. And the secret to being happy no matter what circumstances come our way. But how do we do that? How do we love God? And how do we go about the process of loving our fellow man? Two things. Those two things are love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I want to do something by way of apology for Wednesday night and also to make Wednesday night better. I want to say the same thing I said Wednesday night, but in a completely different way, to get us to the point of understanding the verses we're about to read. And I want to do it by talking about, just for a second, my dad, my father. My dad, I considered to be an artist. Whatever he could see in his mind, he could build out of wood. Jim Williams reminds me a lot of my dad. But my dad's an illustration of his talent and his ability was one day presented by my youngest brother. There are four of us boys, and I'm the oldest. And Larry, by 10 minutes, is the next to the oldest. 10 minutes later was born his twin, Gary. And then our youngest brother, Keith. Keith and Gary live in Decatur, and Larry and I live here. Keith had a project when he was, I believe, a senior in high school. And he was a part of the senior committee to build a float. And he came home to Dad one day, and he said, "Dad, we want to build a float, and here's what I want you to build for us. I want you to build a globe of the world that turns, and we want that on our float." And Dad looked at Keith for a minute, and he thought. And after a few minutes, he pulled out a piece of paper, and he drew a circle. And then he drew some other lines representing things he did not want to forget, wanted to remember. He didn't write a word. He just took the vision that was in his head and put it on paper so he could remember it. And then he went about building the globe that went on the float that literally turned. And if my memory is correct, that float won grand prize, our first prize in the competition. My dad influenced all of us. He influenced us by who he was, by what he did, by the way he went about doing what he did, and by the words that he said. He had impact and influence on all of us. To some degree, we all work in wood. Keith and Larry, probably more so right now than any of the rest of us. But we all work in wood, or have. And he was the influence over that, plus in a lot of other areas. What does that have to do with this? My dad had a thought in his mind. That thought in his mind, he transferred to paper to remember. And that thought in his mind that he transferred to paper, he took with him to the shop, and he shaped what he was making for that float. And that influence that he had for all of us came from what was in his mind that led him to do what he did in the way that he did it, and to say what he said in the way that he said it. And it had impact on all of us. What's that got to do with this? Let's start reading in verse 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now stop right there for a minute. How do you visualize that? I'll tell you how I visualized that for a long time. And I realized that my vision of it was not accurate, not fully describing what's going on here. My vision of it was three individuals, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in some way or another, I had those three individuals being one group. But that still seems to describe multiple gods. So how do you have one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet one God? Well, it was explained to me that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are manifestations of the one God. I had a hard time putting my mind around that. I had a hard time grasping that and seeing that and understanding what that meant and exactly how that looked. But I can be helped a little bit by an illustration that God has put in creation, and that is water. Water comes in four manifestations. Water is manifested in water, the liquid, and is manifested in ice and in snow, which we saw a little bit of in Nashville yesterday. And it's also manifested in gas or vapor when you have steam. You could really reduce those four to three. It is manifested as a liquid, water. It is manifested as a solid in snow or in ice. And it's manifested as a gas or a vapor in steam. And all of that is water. All of that, no matter what form it's in, is water. It just manifests itself in those different areas. Look at this verse. In the beginning was the Word. The Jews also would say the Word of God, or the Jews would talk about wisdom. And they would say that God is wisdom, and wisdom is eternal, and God is wisdom. This Word, or this wisdom, was the mind of God. And what we consider as God the Father is this wisdom, spiritual form, this wisdom that is so almighty and so powerful, we can't get our minds about it. And this wisdom created a world that it doesn't matter how powerful the telescope, you can't see the end of it. And it doesn't matter how powerful the microscope, you can't see the smallness of it. Because it goes beyond anything we can imagine, this world that he has made. And this Word was God. And everything was in his mind. And then it became manifested in another way. It was spoken. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And this spoken word manifested itself. And this spoken word was with God, and it was God. It was God's mind and wisdom speaking. And when it spoke, it had influence. And that influence created things to function and to do exactly as God intended for them to do. And so light shone. And light did exactly what God intended it to do. The Word spoken. The Word that becomes flesh. The Word that influences. The Word that helps us to become what God intended us to be. Spirit. The Spirit of God. The Word of God. One God. manifested in three ways. Now look at this verse again. In the beginning was the Word. Now something's going to be said about the Word in verse 14. And what's going to be said in verse 14 about the Word is that this Word becomes flesh. It becomes a human being and dwells with us. But this Word was with God. And this Word was God. It's just manifested differently. It's no longer just in his mind. He was manifested in the flesh. He was with God in the beginning, which is why Paul will say he was the one that created all things, because God spoke. His Word came out of his mouth and he spoke, and the world became created. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that's been made, which is exactly what Paul says about Jesus having a part in this creation. In him was life. And the life was the light of all mankind, showing them the way to go. That's why a deer is a deer. Because God's influence of what he had in his mind came into all creation and made everything to function exactly as God intended for it to function. Which is why a tree does what a tree does. Which is why a skunk does what a skunk does. Which is why an armadillo does what an armadillo does. Why a fish does what a fish does. And we can go on and on to everything about creation. But God made us a little different. He made us in his image. He gave us an ability to reason like him. An ability to have wisdom like him. An ability to think. And then an ability to choose. We can choose to listen to him or not. And that determines whether or not we get to live with him forever or not, is the choice that we make in life. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we come down to verse 14. The Word became flesh. God manifested in human form. The mind of God manifested in human form in the person of Jesus Christ. And he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And here John is talking about Jesus. How do we love God? Mahatma Gandhi wrote this. I quoted this Wednesday night, but this is what he wrote. I have never been interested in a historical Jesus. I should not care if it were proved by someone that the man Jesus never lived, and that what was narrated in the Gospels were a figment of the writer's imagination. For the Sermon on the Mount would still be true for me. What he's saying there is, it doesn't matter to me if there was a real Jesus or not. What is written in the Sermon on the Mount I consider to be true, and it's something I want to pattern my life after. And it doesn't matter if there was a Jesus or not, if there is any truth or reality to it at all. Is that how we're to believe in Jesus? Is that how we're to look at God? No, it is not. And Gandhi was absolutely wrong. And the way we know that he's wrong is because of what Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting with verse 16, there are people in the church at Corinth that say, there is no such thing as a resurrection from the dead. Paul writes this to them, and you have to look at what he says and think about what he's writing. We'll start reading in verse 16, and he says this, if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. If the dead aren't raised, then there's no truth to the resurrection of Jesus. There's no truth to Jesus. If the dead are not raised, then Jesus hasn't been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your believing that he has is futile. It's a lie. if he hasn't been raised. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ Jesus are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied. There is no truth to the Sermon on the Mount if there was no Jesus who spoke it. There is no reality to the Sermon on the Mount if there is no Jesus who spoke it. And Paul is making that same argument in connection with the resurrection. But then he closes it out in verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So how do we love God? If I'm to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, how do I do that? Do I do that by picking and choosing what I like about him? Do I do that by picking and choosing what I want to believe about him and just ignore everything else? Loving the Sermon on the Mount, but saying it doesn't matter if Jesus ever lived or not. I don't really believe there ever was a real Jesus, but I believe those words spoken in the Sermon on the Mount. Why? Why believe any of it if none of it is true? Because if none of it is true, none of it matters. That's what Paul is saying. So here we go. How do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Does that mean I'm to love God as God? Or is just an image I draw up? Or do I strive to come to understand him and know him and love him as God? It means I love him as God. Do I love his mercy and his grace? We all delight in it. We all delight in the idea of his mercy and his grace. Do I love his mercy and his grace toward those that hate me? Do I love his mercy and his grace toward those that do me wrong? Do I love his mercy and his grace toward those that are trying to destroy me? Do I love his mercy and his grace toward those that are trying to destroy the things I love? Do I love his mercy? Do I love his grace? Is that what it means to love God? Yes, it is. Do I love his justice and his righteousness? Do I love his holiness? Do I love his justice and to know that his justice is going to be done even against me if I'm not washed in the blood of Jesus? Am I to love his justice and his righteousness? Yes, I am. I'm to love God with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. Am I to love what he says? I love Jesus. But I don't like the Bible. I love Jesus. Give me Jesus, but don't give me the Bible. Can I say that? Not and love God. Not and love God with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind. Because to love him is to love his word. To love him is to love his spoken word. To love him is to love his word that influences me and challenges me and corrects me and condemns me. To love him is to love his word and to love everything about him. So we say this. Jesus says every one of these. Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That would have been what he would have said to folks like Gandhi. If you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You must believe in him. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, but the one who does the will of my Father will be the one who goes to heaven. It's not enough just to say, oh yes, I believe in God. Do you listen to him? Are you listening to what he says? If you love him, you're listening to what he says. You are my friends, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments. Not just say that you're my friends, but to love Jesus and to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength means to do what he says, to keep what he says for us to do. Second thing, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus even adds to that. And it ties us in with being influenced by him, by his spirit. It ties us in with listening to what he has said, listening to his word, to coming to the mind of God himself. And he says this, love as I have loved you. Love others in the same way that I have loved you. How do we do this? For the new year. For every day of the new year. For every new year we're going to have. Let's make it a goal, a desire, and an aim every day of every year to do this. To read his word. To strive to understand it. And to live it. To love him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. By being in his word, by reading it, striving to understand it, and to live it. This sermon was actually born out of this thought. I want to myself do this more often and better. And I want to challenge all of us to do it. Notice people and think properly about them. I was taking a gift back to a store. You know what it's like around Christmas time to return gifts to stores, especially after Christmas. I went into the store. It was hard to find a parking place. Finally found one, went into the store, saw where the return line was, and it was a line. So I got in line, and rather than looking at my watch and thinking about the time that I was wasting, I decided I'm going to do something else. And I just watched all of the people around me with these words in my mind. Jesus died for every single one of them. Jesus went to the cross for every single person in this room, for every single person in this line. He loves every single one of them as much as he loves me. He wants every single one of them as much as he wants me. And he would have died for them alone just as he would have died for me alone. And he is willing to forgive each and every one of them just as much as he's willing to forgive me. And when you go through an exercise like that, it causes you to look at people around you a little differently. It causes you to think about things that are done by other people towards you a little differently. It causes you to develop a mindset and an attitude that comes from the very influence of God himself. It causes us to look at others differently. To help us to understand how, from the Word of God, we can learn how to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It's exactly what God wants us to become. It's exactly the influence of his Spirit coming from his spoken word that God had in his mind all along about all of us. Have a happier new year. Let's just draw closer to him. There may be some here this morning who are ready to become a Christian. Some who need to come home to Christ. We want to offer you his invitation and give you a reminder. Some of our elders will be in their conference room after we're dismissed. If you wish to have a private prayer with them or talk with them. But if you desire to respond to the invitation of Jesus, we extend it to you. As together we stand and as we sing.